The pregnant woman attacked with a concrete block has died. A shock announcement from the prosecutor in the Brittany Higgins rape trial, and why Elon Musk wants to put a brain chip in you. It's Friday, the 2nd of December.
The West Live with Cyan Valance and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Cy.
G'day, Ben. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
We made it.
You've made it. What's harder for you, filling in for Matt Tinney, those early starts for Sunrise?
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, big shoes. Big shoes, tight pants. And now let's talk about this tragic development in the case that has shocked Western Australia this week. A pregnant mum in Carrawarra was attacked. A concrete block thrown through an open car window landed her in hospital. And now the worst possible outcome has occurred.
Her family, who has been by her side over the past couple of days as she's been in a coma fighting for life, had to make the gut-wrenching decision to turn off her life support. Mm. So Diane died just before 2 a.m. She leaves behind a one-year-old child, a partner, and her unborn baby couldn't be saved. So it's just absolutely devastating for all involved. They held an overnight vigil outside Royal Perth Hospital, and the Homicide Squad is investigating charges against the 17-year-old who allegedly threw that piece of concrete may be upgraded.
Mm. And so, cause I guess that's the thing now, right? Like with homicide detectives involved, it gets a lot more serious. I guess we'll see what happens. We know that the accused had criminal charges against him already, that he was out on bail. Very complicated story. We'll probably not make any more comment while we're waiting for this legal process to unfold now. But there will certainly be more news in the days to come. Just as there is in this blockbuster trial of an alleged rape committed against Brittany Higgins in federal parliament. This is another story that Australia has been following very closely. The allegations were shocking. Brittany Higgins has bravely brought forward the allegations and spoken about this alleged crime. But now it looks as though there's going to be an explosive revelation in the courtroom today.
Yes. So not only was she brave enough to tell her story, she was then brave enough to, you know, go as far as pressing charges. It went to trial. She relived that trauma. And then one of the jurors did the wrong thing. The whole thing was called off. There was a second trial called for February. But now there are reports that that is going to be cancelled because the trauma for her will just be too great for her mental health. So there are reports that the charges of against Bruce Lehrman will be dropped. He has, of course, maintained his innocence mm-hmm. from the very beginning. So we're going to be hearing from the Director of Public Prosecution, Shane Drumgold. And it's just an incredibly, to say the least, unsatisfactory ending to this gut-wrenching story.
Yeah, for everybody involved,
yep.
Because you know, the fact that there was a psychiatric report that was believed to find that this trial would pose an unacceptable risk to Brittany Higgins' mental health shows the depth of trauma that she has endured, and not just from the trial and the alleged incident, but also from the media scrutiny. Mm. I'm sure what she's been receiving on social media however anybody else could get onto her. And then, of course, there's Bruce Lehrman as well. He doesn't really get his day in court to prove his innocence, so that's always something that's going to be hanging over his head. And then I also think about all of the victims of sexual abuse and sexual assault out there in society. Like, what does this say to people who are thinking about coming forward, you know? Like, what hope they have to bring their accuser to justice?
I actually know of a drink spiking victim who has refused to press charges because she saw what happened to Brittany Higgins. And who knows how far the ripple effects will spread.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, as you and I know, it's an all too common story in the way the legal system works and how it deals with victims of sexual abuse. But now it's the public really seeing it firsthand in such stark detail. And now the WA Police Union will ballot its members on the McGowan government's second wages offer. They're not going to endorse the deal, but they've only agreed to do it if the Commissioner Cole Blanche doesn't, campaign for the cops to accept it. So it's an interesting kind of standoff at the moment. So the union has said, okay, we're not going to recommend our members knock it back as long as, Cole, you don't get on your soapbox and tell everybody to accept it. I guess it's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here. Like, it seems like people want to move forward in good faith, but, you know, it's when you're the police commissioner, it's pretty hard not to say, you know, here's a great offer. I think everybody should take it. And it's pretty hard for the union not to say, well, this is not the best offer we can get.
I think everyone knows where they both stand, though. It's no secret.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to get knocked back. And now, this is a story that Australia's been following very closely as well. The trial of Sydney school teacher Chris Dawson, who was the subject of that very, very popular Teacher's Pet podcast. And so he was convicted of killing his wife, Lynette, almost 40 years after the fact. And today he's going to be sentenced. Do you think, obviously, there's a measure of closure that comes for Lynette's family here. But as a bystander who's been watching this case unfold, what does it mean to you?
The Chris Dawson case? Mm. Well, I was a listener of The Teacher's Pet. And I think the most poignant part of all of it was hearing the daughter say in the victim impact statement, why didn't you just divorce her?
Mm.
Like, seriously, mate? I'm devastated for all her loved ones and for her, but thank God that after all these years, some semblance of justice.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because the judge is going to consider Dawson's lack of remorse, but also will take into account his deteriorating health and the fact that he's 74 years old, but still could be sentenced to what will amount to decades in jail. And now, meanwhile, over in China, we've been speaking about the protests, right, that have been erupting over the country's strict COVID measures. Well, now Beijing has signalled a shift in policy as it moves to ease some virus restrictions, and it comes despite high daily case numbers. Dozens of districts in Shanghai and Guangzhou were released from lockdown measures on Thursday. It comes after unrest that was triggered by a fire in a high-rise apartment block in the western Xinjiang region, which killed 10 people last week. The Chinese people believe that COVID restrictions played a part in that tragedy. The authorities deny it. We've also seen restrictions in Guangzhou abruptly lifted on Wednesday, just hours after violent protests between police and general public. And the community in Beijing also allowed COVID cases with mild symptoms to isolate at home, which is a far cry from protocols earlier this year where even one case would cause an entire office building to be in lockdown. So you've gone to work today. Well, guess what? You're going to be here for the next 7 days. So it's going to be fascinating to see what China does now because it also they've experienced the highest number of COVID cases since the pandemic began, more than 36,000 cases recorded on Wednesday.
And I understand they don't have a really high vaccination rate,
no.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and also the Chinese-made vaccine is not super.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the efficacy of that is not fantastic because they've been shipping it out to the various countries that they're trying to woo.
Influence,
and haven't been very effective. Now, here's an interesting story for you. How confident would you be in letting Elon Musk embed a chip in your brain?
Honestly, this is dramatic. I'd rather a bullet. Because if his Twitter feed is an insight into his brain, I don't want him anywhere near mine.
Well, he said he's going to get a chip, but I don't know if that's going to have any impact on his tweeting. Because he said this brain chip developed by his health tech company will begin human trials in the next 6 months, which sounds absolutely terrifying. And he says he plans to get one of the chips himself, but he says, we want to be extremely careful and certain that it'll work before putting a device into a human.
What a good idea.
And so if you're wondering why anybody would get one of these things, so Neuralink, the company that's inventing this technology, says its brain chip could restore a person's vision, even in those who were born blind, and restore full body functionality, including movement and verbal communication, for people with severed spinal cords. They've been testing it on animals. Obviously, the results have been promising, but hasn't been approved for human trials yet.
I can see how somebody with no hope would do that.
Yeah, yeah. So potential, you know, it could be a multi-billion dollar medical boon. I guess we'll wait and see. Very early stages yet. Sport. And the huge upsets are continuing at the World Cup, and the biggest one overnight was Japan's 2-1 win over European giant Spain. Although both nations made it through to the knockout stages of the tournament, so no one's really unhappy about that, but certainly the Blue Samurai are absolutely ecstatic. Even though they were completely outclassed by the Spanish in the first half, stormed back in the second stanza. It was a dramatic night of action in Group E. At various points last night, fans of all four teams in the group might have thought they'd done enough to make the round of 16. Of course, only two can get through, and when the dust settled, the former four-time winners Germany, so absolute powerhouse of European soccer, had been eliminated despite winning 4-2 over Costa Rica.
doesn't that put Australia's success in a new light?
Absolutely.
We beat Germany already.
Yeah, Italy didn't even make the World Cup.
I know.
So it's very, very special. Belgium, the number two ranked team in the world, are also packing their bags to leave Qatar today after they suffered a nil-all draw with Croatia. You're 100% right. Like, Australia's progress through the round of 16 is just absolutely phenomenal. Historic Australian sporting moment. The Croatians have progressed as well, and so too has Morocco after a 2-1 win over Canada. And in the first test here in Perth against the West Indies, Steve Smith has equaled the legendary Sir Donald Bradman on 29 test centuries in his career after reaching triple figures at Perth Stadium yesterday. In case you were wondering, it took Steve Smith 155 innings to notch 29 tons. Do you want to know how many it took the Don?
I do.
79. Aww. About half as many. So when I say he equaled Bradman, that might be a bit of a stretch. And in case you're wondering, Australia declared at 4 for 598, very commanding position. The West Indies reached 0 for 74 at stumps.
Can I just say, I regret not going there after work yesterday because there were two double centuries. Yeah. Travis Head got out for 99. Imagine what a day of test cricket. Like, it's beautiful. Yeah. That is what it's all about.
Yeah. Great drama. Great drama in indeed.
The Wild West.
And now this is a story that everybody loves. The Christmas pageant is back on Saturday, and you and I will both be involved.
Yes, we will. What are you doing this year?
Well, so I'm reprising my role as the Nutcracker.
Great.
When I was asked to be in the pageant for the very, very first time last year, I came on board quite late in the piece. Maybe there was someone who'd pulled out and they needed to...
sweetheart.
Whatever it was, a lot of the costumes were already taken because people have costumes that they do every year, right? Like, there's a Peter Pan and the Three Wise Men and all sorts of roles were already filled. The one that wasn't, I don't know why, was the Nutcracker. I was stoked. I was stoked to get the opportunity. And it turns out the Nutcracker is very popular. Like, everybody knows the Nutcracker. And 100,000 kids who rock up at this thing all were yelling out the whole way through the parade, "Hey, Nutcracker, give us a wave, Nutcracker."
So good, isn't it?
It was actually awesome.
It makes you feel so warm and fuzzy, even though they couldn't care less about you. Like, no offense, it's the Nutcracker they're there for.
Oh, no.
The only one that I was taken aback with was when I was the Queen of Hearts and the kids kept slashing their throats at me, and I was like, children these days, like, this generation, so disrespectful. And then I realized,
off with their heads.
Yes, I was like, okay, they do. I was like so shocked to start with, though. But I'm not in costume this year. I'm hosting with Ryan Daniels. So looking forward to it.
You're the big deal. You're the main show. You and Ryan Daniels hosting the whole thing.
We do what we do.
Fantastic. And so that's happening tomorrow night. I think it kicks off at 7:30 p.m. And it'll be absolutely epic. The weather looks great. And for people who can't get to the pageant, there's a bit of Christmas cheer happening down in Mandurah, as there is every year.
It is being called the Christmas capital of WA. So it's been going for about a decade now, and everyone on the canals just decks out their houses to the next level. Like, it's become so popular, boat charters are booked out for 2023.
Wow.
Like, it is incredibly popular.
Next year as well.
Yes. Because
I was just thinking to myself, oh, I wonder if I could get a boat.
Well, you could try. I mean, make some calls. Do your best. Don't give up, because it's worth it. They are spectacular. Yeah. Like, what a cool display. And the kids love it. People spend thousands of dollars because the people on the canal can, and it pays off. And all the money they raise goes to charity.
Ah, beautiful. Maybe I'll do it in my Nutcracker costume. Maybe that'll get me a seat on a boat.
Okay. He loves attention.
And that's your news from the West Australian for Friday, December the 2nd. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Si, thanks for this week. It's been absolutely awesome.
Thanks for having me. I'll be happy to sleep until 6 next week.
You've been listening to the West Live with Si Ann Valance and Ben O'Shea.